Nathan Zagura, Vic Carucci back with you on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. By the way, driving through the snow, felt pretty good in my big F-150. It felt good to be at least in a big vehicle yes. with a little bit of weight behind it in these crazy, crazy conditions. But now it is time to do what we always do on Tuesday, have a lot of fun with the game called Ask Further Review. So let's bring in our great producer, Dave DiNatale. What's up, Dino?
After further review.
Hi, guys. Yes, hi, yes. All right. Let's begin with this one. Trey Mason was the player not named Jameis Winston that impressed you the most last night. Is that
fact or fiction?
I'm going to say fiction because although Winston did not have a Heisman Trophy top overall pick of the NFL draft in 2015 kind of performance in my mind, and maybe you'd say he's the top overall pick of 2014 if he were eligible for this draft, I thought what he did at the end of the game is where ultimately those great winners and champions are defined, and he had a defining finish. And I thought, and the other thing I liked about his game, even when things weren't going well, he maintained that sense. It looked like a sense of calm. He had that smile going. I heard someone use the Magic Johnson comparison of kind of smiling out there on the court, so to speak, as he did out on the field. I think there was some validity to that.
I would say, to me, it is fact. I thought Mason looked very, very good. Looks like a guy who can definitely play in the NFL. He's got a big, thick frame, strong legs, can run through tackles. You cannot arm tackle that guy. Shows the ability to catch the football in the backfield as well. I like Mason, and I also like Kelvin Benjamin, the big receiver
yes.
who you could just tell
yes.
could be a
yes.
red zone monster in the National Football League. My only question with him is top line speed, and if he's got that, he has an opportunity to be a very, very good receiver. Now, his yards per catch, 18.7, so clearly he can't put up some big plays, but Kelvin Benjamin, I thought, was the guy in terms of pro prospects. Very, very impressive in that game.
After further review.
Well, this one's for Carly. After winning yeah. outdoors, y'all, in Philly, the Saints have proven now that they can go to Seattle and beat the Seahawks. Is that
fact or fiction?
I'd have to say fiction on that one. As much as I am a Saints lover, I am a realist, and I'm really happy we were able to beat Philly away in the cold, but I'm not feeling that we're going to pull it off against Seattle. But as a Saints fan, I'm just so proud that they came back this season that they did. So go Saints.
Gentlemen?
I don't think it's a yeah. foregone conclusion to mm-hmm. me. I think the way that they beat Philadelphia was by kind of physicaling up and I think in some ways preparing for this game. It's going to be hard to beat them as badly as they were beaten the first time. I think Russell Wilson right now is playing, you know, in my opinion, the worst football we've seen him play in a little bit of a while. So it's possible. I still think, though, Seattle's got to be the favorite in that one.
I'm going to say, yeah, Seattle for sure. I think it does come to an end. This was a nice run by the Saints. I think it validates Sean Payton's return, what that's meant to the team. I thought he coached really a brilliant game against the Eagles. I think they won that game largely because of coaching, largely because of an offense that relied on muscle, on physicality. They were able to do that, and they weren't afraid to pound the football and set some things up that way. And then defensively, Rob Ryan was spot on against a very tough offense and an offensive coordinator who is, we know about all the out-of-box thinking, but the biggest thing that had that Eagles thing rolling was their running game. And Rob Ryan's defense, and I give credit to the players, too, to hold LeSean McCoy to 77 yards was the key. Now, I don't see that happening against Seattle. I don't see Marshawn Lynch being contained to the degree that the leading rusher in the NFL was. I think Lynch, a different problem altogether, and trying to win out in Seattle, very, very difficult challenge for the Saints.
I hope we're all wrong.
After further review.
All right, next, guys. The Browns, for all said and done, will interview a college coach. Is that
fact or fiction?
I'm going to say probably fiction. I think the Gus Malzahn discussion is much more of a discussion. It's much more of a media thing and an observer thing than it is a true, deep connection that the Browns have to this guy or this desire to get this guy. I do think he is very interesting, especially to Jimmy Haslam. And I think Jimmy and his love for SEC football, connection with Tennessee and the college game and his understanding of all of that and again, his passion for all of that bleeds into this process for sure. But I don't think when it's all said and done that the Browns are truly going to go down that road in a meaningful way. I wouldn't rule anything out as we sit here, still probably early in this process as much as it seems like it's been dragging on. But I'm inclined to say that they're not going to go college.
I think they're going to try to get in front of him. I think the only way that they don't interview Gus Malzahn is if he has no interest in being interviewed.
Yeah, which is entirely possible.
Which is possible,
you know, and
for sure.
Yeah, I do. I mean, look, they're not inclined to waste time on this stuff. It makes sense to get in front of him to at least, as I said earlier in the show, download, find out what he saw, just to get in front of him for the purposes of learning more, stealing ideas, whatever it might be. And you'd be surprised at how beneficial I've heard it from other general managers who've gone through this process and owners through the years who tell me that this is really helpful stuff. Now, you know, I don't know how guarded the guy is. I just don't know the guy. I can't speak to how he would be in this, in going through this. But here's the thing, Nathan. If he went through the trouble of the interview, if he goes and does that, then Auburn, then there's going to have to be a big, something's going to have to happen between him and Auburn to go that route, right? Because if he steps into the idea of listening to the point of having an interview, then I think it could possibly compromise some relationship there. The guy did go through a lot of extent, it seems, to get his deal re-upped there, and it's a pretty handsome-looking thing financially. I know, you know, you could say, well, if he does this, is he going to squeeze more money out of him? But, you know, I don't know that he's that kind of guy. Maybe he is, but I don't know.
All right, we got one more here.
After
gotta get
further
to Mike.
Review...
The Chiefs meltdown. I heard this on a couple of places today, and I definitely want to get Vic's thought on this. The Chiefs meltdown on Saturday was a bigger collapse than the Oilers-Bills 20 years ago. Is that
fact or fiction?
What, it was bigger?
Well, yeah, I mean, obviously, yeah, it was a bigger collapse. Obviously, it wasn't as much points, but...
No. I was at, you know, I was at the Buffalo one and covered that. Was making travel reservations for the next round of the playoffs. I think it was Pittsburgh, whoever I was planning to cover that didn't involve the Bills, because I assumed the Bills season was over, and I was sitting down with our sports editor in the press box at what was then known as Rich Stadium, planning out our next steps that didn't involve covering the Bills. And we were having these meetings at halftime of that game, and I absolutely thought when I saw that happen, it was just, I was in disbelief. And I didn't, this, for whatever reason, and we discussed this the other day, I told my wife, she was the only other person in the room when we were watching the game. I said, I don't like this for the Chiefs. I think this is going to
right.
end badly for them. And I just, that sense of luck doing what he did, I didn't see that with as much as that was Warren, I mean, that was Frank Reich. Remember Frank Reich at quarterback.
Yeah.
Versus, you know, Alex Smith, and the Bills were also missing, for the record, Thurman Thomas wasn't in the lineup. I mean, they had some Cornelius Bennett. There were key people, a Hall of Famer and another guy, borderline Hall of Famer, who weren't playing for the Bills during the course of that game.
Yeah, it, to me, you just kind of saw as the injuries continued to mount up and they got hot on offense, Andrew Luck got hot, one of the best in the league, it was... I thought it was coming. As you mentioned, you talked to Ron about it. I texted my dad. My dad had declared the game over, and I said, this game is far from over. So it didn't surprise me at all.
Yeah.
Not one bit. I thought Andrew Luck, obviously one of the great young quarterbacks in the game, and certainly the kind of guy that you can only hope to be so lucky to have the number one pick the year Andrew Luck comes out.
And a quick footnote. I mean, so many people who said they were at that Bills game who weren't. That game didn't sell out. Wasn't on TV. People were trying to climb fences.
Are you calling
fences.
Them liars?
Yes, I am. They were trying to climb fences. Because I think if everybody who said they were there, there were 200,000 people there. And the place only seated, I think, 80.
A lot of empty seats. That, guys, is another edition.
After further review.
For this week. First one of 2014.
Oh, yeah. We got many more to come.
Yes.
That's right. Yes, we do. We want to hear from you, though, as we wrap things up here after this next segment, when we're going to bring in Mike Kliss from the Denver Post to talk about Adam Gase, the potential head coaching candidate and current offensive coordinator of the Denver Broncos. From Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, returns right after this.